Hello, and welcome to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Airreach. The aim of this podcast is to inspire, equip, and challenge you, our listener, to be an active and effective evangelist. I'm your host, Gerhard, a missionary here with CCO. We're currently on our summer schedule and aren't creating new content for you, but rather than leaving you high and dry, we're publishing a series of talks given at a Rise Up conference. This week's talk is Discovering the Feminine Genius, the Gift that Women Are to the Church, by Christine LaBrosse. If you have any questions about evangelization, you can email us at podcast@cco.ca. All right, let's get to the talk.
Welcome, everyone. So I just want to start, let's just start with a prayer, okay, so that we can just enter in a little bit to what the Lord wants to speak to us this morning. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, we praise and thank you for your presence here with us. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to be attentive to any way that you might be speaking to us today. Lord, we just set aside our preconceived ideas about who we are and ask you to show us who you are calling us to be. Teach us to respect and have understanding for one another so we can work together in furthering the kingdom of God. We pray all of this through Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. So the title of this workshop is Discovering the Feminine Genius and the Gift that Women Are to the Church. So I want to speak with you today about the role we as individual women play in furthering the kingdom of God. And I want to approach that the way CCO approaches things, one person at a time. So we're talking about each of us. This is each of us to receive individually so that we can understand our call and then pursue that as a group of women to further the kingdom of God. So I want to share with you about the feminine genius and how God is calling us as women to live this out in our lives. And the church has long appreciated the role that women play in the life of the church and the world. In the closing message of the Second Vatican Council, they said, "The hour isn't coming, in fact has come, when the vocation of women is being acknowledged in its fullness. The hour in which women acquire in the world an influence, an effect, and a power never hitherto achieved. That is why at this moment, when the human race is undergoing so deep a transformation, women imbued with the spirit of the gospel can do so much to aid humanity in not falling." I find this quite a prophetic statement, given that it was written in 1965. I think it's very relevant still today for us as women in the church. Our culture is so in need of the love and spiritual strength that God wants to manifest through us as women. God wants us to continue becoming who He has called us to be so that we can bring His love and understanding to our families, to the church, and to the world. In 1988, St. John Paul II wrote an apostolic letter entitled Mulieris Dignitatem, which means On the Dignity and Vocation of Women. And this letter was written on the precious role that women have played and continue to play in the life of the church. John Paul loved women and had a great respect for who we are and the role that we play in the church. He wrote, "The church gives thanks for all the manifestations of the feminine genius which have appeared in the course of history. She, the church, gives thanks for all the charisms, the gifts, that the Holy Spirit distributes to women in the history of the people of God. The church gives thanks for all the victories which she owes to their faith, hope, and charity, and gives thanks for all the fruits of feminine holiness." Isn't that beautiful? First and foremost, as we receive the love of God, our Heavenly Father, we become who God has created us to be. He's created us to be women who sacrificially love and by doing so encourage all those around us to give freely of themselves as well. I love St. John Paul II. I grew up on his teachings, so a lot of what I will be talking about today is from him. As John Paul put it in his apostolic letter, in the spirit of Christ, in fact, women can discover the entire meaning of their femininity and thus be disposed to making a sincere gift of self to others and thereby find themselves. So we find ourselves as we give ourselves. As we pour ourselves out for others, we discover more of who we are. So let's just take a closer look at that. Women are called to relationship, and God has imprinted on our very bodies this call on our lives. As women, we're called to be receivers. We're called to receive the love of God and then give it back to the world. But in order to be able to do that, we need to know who we are in the Lord and carry that forward into our everyday lives, knowing that we're fulfilling God's plan. God has given women a threefold call in their life. Our first call or vocation is that of daughter of our Heavenly Father and bride of Christ. That is first and foremost what we're called to. We are created and loved lavishly by our Heavenly Father. He has a purpose and an ultimate plan for each of our lives that will be fulfilling and will help further His kingdom. As that beautiful piece of art and the card on your table says, we are deeply loved, absolutely forgiven, God's masterpiece, chosen and set apart and secure in Christ. This is who we are. Our second call or vocation is according to our gender. So as feminine, that is to physical and spiritual motherhood. We are uniquely called and created as women for union and communion through a feminine gift of self. Right? We're created actually physically with an empty space within. So we're created to be life bearers, to be receptive. And the third call on women is that is unique to each of us individually. What are our unique gifts? Who are we on the inside that makes us unique? The someone that no one else can be. What we bring to our world and to the people in our world. I know it's warm in here, isn't it, ladies? Bit slower, sorry. Okay, thank you. Thank you. And slow me down again if I speed up, okay? So, who am I? Who has God created me to be? Where do I find my identity? I remember when I first left the workforce some years ago now, I found myself really enjoying life. I had been wanting to pursue some kind of creative endeavors, writing. I love to write and just sort of needlepoint. I wanted to spend time with people and, that kind of thing. And, life was really good. And then all of a sudden I started feeling guilty about that. This is too easy, right? Like my life is too easy. We all have this concept, right, that it has to be hard for it to be the right thing. If my life is hard, that must mean I'm on the right path. I don't think that that's true. But people started asking me things like, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? Do you sit at home and watch TV all day, or what do you do? And things like, what if something happens? What do you have to fall back on? You know, that kind of thing. Like I wasn't working, technically. My father even actually kept saying to me, you're not contributing to society, Christine. You need to get out there and get a real job. What are you doing with your life? So much of what we believe, right, is what the world tells us is true. But that's not it. Right? And I remember my husband, who's in the back corner there, he's my techie. I brought him with me. He said to me, well, Christine, why does it have to feel bad to be the right thing? It should feel good if you're in the right place. You should be feeling like you're right in the zone, you know? So my identity was not in my job and what I did and how I contributed to society, but in who I am as a daughter of my Heavenly Father. I can't earn His love by what I do. I receive His love because of who I am, because of who He has created me to be. I am His. That's my life's adventure, right? To find out who we are in Him and to become all He's called us to be and created us to be as women, as daughters. I think this can be very difficult sometimes, to discover who we are as daughters of our Heavenly King, the King of Kings, right? He loves us and cares for us, and He has created us for this time and this place. We are supposed to be here. We have something very special that He wants for us. I remember just in my early days of finding Christianity and my Catholicism again and getting to know God, I went to visit my dad, and my dad and I had a bit of a fractious relationship through much of our life together, and I didn't see him very often. So when I went down, I remember sitting behind him, and he was a bit of a workaholic, and he's working away, and I hadn't seen him in months, and I'm sitting behind him, and I'm thinking to myself, Dad, I'm here. I'm right behind you. Can you notice me? Can you talk to me? Can you? And he just, you know, carried on, you know, with his work. And it was in that moment that I had this sense from my Heavenly Father, I see you, Christine. I see you there. You have value. You're important. You're here for a reason. That really changed my heart, right? Like, I really was healed in that moment when I realized God loves me. My Heavenly Father loves me. So I don't need to worry so much about, you know, what my dad can or cannot give me, you know. But we are daughters of the King, right? We're royalty. That's who we are. We're princesses. I love this scripture passage. Hear, O daughter, and see. Turn your ear. So shall the King desire your beauty, for He is your Lord, and you must worship Him. All glorious is the King's daughter as she enters. Her raiment is threaded with spun gold. In embroidered apparel she is borne into the King. Behind her the virgins of her train all brought to you. They are borne in with gladness and joy. They enter the palace of the King. That's us. And in a pretty good looking outfit, it looks like to me. We are brides of Christ too, right? We are lovers to Him. We are called to be in love with Him, not just love Him, but be in love with Him. And I think if we find our identity in these two things, daughterhood and brides, all the sort of confusion in our life, discouragement, that can fall away in place of knowing who we are. So before being a friend or a student, a sister or a girlfriend or whatever, we are first and foremost princesses, daughters of God the Father. So as our picture says, right, we're deeply loved, absolutely forgiven, God's masterpiece, chosen and set apart, and secure in Christ. And this is the rock-solid foundation that everything else is built on. If we don't understand this, or if we aren't able to accept this or receive this, then nothing else is gonna work for us. Like Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, anyone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on a rock. When the rainy season came, the winds blew and buffeted his house, but it didn't collapse. It had been built on solid rock. So this is what we need to build our lives on. We have to discover this identity in a deeper way, right? This is ultimately who we are. And when we can accept and receive this love of the Father, we'll be free to become everything He's created us to be. So I just want to take a moment now and just stop with this image in mind that you have in front of you and just reflect for 1 second, what part of that do you have the most difficult time receiving on that card? And then after you reflect on that for a minute, we're just going to say a prayer. And the guys are, you know, it holds for you too. So just take a moment and reflect, and then we'll pray. So Lord, we just come before you now, and we ask that each one here would just be touched in this moment, Heavenly Father, by your love, in a way that they haven't been touched before. In that place where they have a hard time receiving your love, your forgiveness, your sense of preciousness for them. Or just touch their heart. Fill them with your love. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we didn't receive a spirit of slavery, right, to fall back into fear. We've received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it's that very spirit that bears witness that we are children, children of God, and heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. So God doesn't want to leave us orphans, right? We're his children. He continues to make the invitation to us, inviting us to be with him as daughters. And I think Satan, since the Garden of Eden, has been trying to convince us that we don't have a loving father, that we're orphans. And it's just a lie. It's not true. The truth is that God loves us with an everlasting love, and he's always making the invitation. This really came home to me a couple of years ago when Charles and I were visiting Disney World. Yes, you may not think that Disney could show us lessons in God's love, but we were very touched by what we saw there. We had gone to Belle's Castle, you know, Beauty and the Beast, and it was the attraction was called Story Time with Belle. So in she comes in all her gold glory, you know, like the big gold dress, just beautiful. And the little kids that were there, their jaws just dropped. I mean, it was just awesome to watch them just, you know, their eyes were bugging out of their heads when she came in. And at the end of the story time, she told this story, and at the end of the story time, she was handing out these little bookmarks to the kids and giving them hugs. And this one little girl was there. She was about, I'd say about 3 years old, but she was hanging back. You could see she was really shy and she was nervous, but she couldn't take her eyes off of Belle, you know. She was just in the back. But Belle saw her and got down on her hands and knees like that and extended her hand towards her. But the little girl was afraid, so Belle went on to the other kids, you know, and then she invited her again. No, she was still afraid. Then she came down to being the last little girl there. Everybody had received their bookmarks except her. Belle extended both of her arms and said, come to me. And this little girl just ran straight for her and, you know, hugged her tight around her her neck, you know. And it was the most beautiful moment. I actually had tears in my eyes because I thought, that's how God wants us to be with him. He keeps making the invitation. Come to me, come to me. He wants us to run to him, throw our arms around him, and just be loved by him. So see, even Disney can teach you stuff. It's amazing. Yeah. So that invitation is always there. See what love the Father has bestowed on us in letting us be called children of God. That's what we are. So we're never alone. Jesus knew the Father's presence all the time, and that's who we take our modeling from, right? The essence of fatherhood is presence. I think we've come to believe that fatherhood is about provision, but I believe the essence of fatherhood is presence in our lives. And I think we're missing a lot of that in fatherhood today. We need to find ourselves in the Father's presence, right? God always welcomes us back when we've sinned and fallen short of his glory, not as slaves, but as daughters. So are we experiencing our life as a journey to the house of the Father, a Father who loves us unconditionally and has melted my heart so that I know I am his daughter? Or am I still struggling a little bit with my foundational identity, with my self-worth, with my value? I know myself, I've been on this journey for a long time, and I still struggle with that. I still need to ask the Lord to enter in and show me who I am. And I struggled with that for a long time. As I said, my relationship with my earthly father was difficult, so I found it hard to believe that my Heavenly Father loved me just the way I was. I thought I had to perform a certain way or be a certain way to earn His love. My Father, because of the woundedness and lack of fathering in His own life, taught me that I had to prove myself rather than accepting myself for who I was and seeing the beauty in who God had created me to be. So we have to ask ourselves, where do we draw our identity from? From our school program, our jobs, our friends? Are we worried about what others think of us and the choices that we've made? Are we trying to prove our value through our looks, our body, our clothes, our role as student, friend, girlfriend, sister, daughter? I remember when Charles and I not married quite a year, and I was struggling settling into marriage, and a lot of wounds in my life were surfacing, and I wasn't experiencing a lot of joy, and I took a lot of that out on Charles. God bless him. He's very patient and loving. And I remember sharing with my spiritual director how concerned I was about what people thought of us, that we weren't like the loving, romantic, head over heels in love kind of couple I thought we should be looking like. And she looked at me and she said, "Seriously, Christine? You shouldn't be worried about what anybody thinks. You should be worried about what God thinks. And that's what you need to be working on." That was an eye-opener, and that opened me and set me free a little bit. I think we have to ask ourselves where we're drawing our identity from. I think I'm behind in my... Right, God sets us free. Sorry about that. To become our greatest potential, and only He knows what that is. Now, it can be difficult for some of us to relate to God the Father, to really know our foundational identity. We may have been hurt, abandoned, rejected, or even abused by our earthly fathers. But God the Father wants to set us free. He wants to heal us. He wants to love us. We just have to open our hearts to receive that. We have to ask God to bring us into His presence and remove those foundations that are made of sand, built on hurt and distrust, and replace that with the foundation that's built on rock. It's always good to begin anew, to rediscover our identity as a daughter of the Father. I remember when I was young, I call this my cheerleader story. Maybe some of you can relate. It's just an example of how we're looking as daughters for our dads on earth to notice us, right? So my dad was a basketball coach for the University of Waterloo way back in the 60s. And there was a whole set of cheerleaders that had little, you know, skirts, plaid skirts, and gold sweaters with big W's on them. My mom made me a matching outfit to go with the big girl cheerleaders, you know. And so there I was on the sidelines, you know, cheering with my pom-poms, and I was so excited and so proud. And I remember running up to Dad after and saying, "Oh, Dad, did you see me? Did you see me?" And he even didn't see me in that moment. He just walked by me and walked out, you know. So I, you know, that kind of was the beginning, I think, of some big hurt for me that got built up over the years. But when I came to meet God in a personal way, I realized that my earthly father doesn't represent the love of God the Father. There's a disconnect there, because our earthly fathers are human, right? And they have been wounded themselves, so they can't give what they haven't received themselves. So we need to stop looking to our earthly fathers to find what only our Heavenly Father can give us, if that makes sense. So John Paul II talked about the feminine genius, that women have a feminine genius. And the feminine genius is the very unique way that a woman expresses her gift of self in all of her originality as God intended her to when she was created. The feminine genius is the active and external expression of her being. Women are made for relationship. Women are made in God's image. And we image God by making a sincere gift of ourselves to others. And we have a creative genius. Women, all of you, And men have actually a masculine genius too, but we're not talking about that today. But Charles could talk to you about that, because he keeps reminding me, now that's masculine genius, you know, when he figures something out. So St. John Paul, so he's saying that all of us have a unique ability to bring into being something that never existed before. St. John Paul wanted to affirm the feminine way of doing things, right? The unique and distinctive way a woman makes a gift of self, and that's what he called the feminine genius. So for John Paul II, the woman being a helper to the man doesn't refer to the practical things of life like cooking, cleaning, caring for the kids. It means that women help the man to discover his own humanity, his own capacity for self-giving. Woman's first presence in the world, when woman was created, God gave her as a gift to the man. By being a gift to him, she showed him how to make a sincere gift of self. She showed the man that he was made for relationship. The uniqueness of women is to be a gift for man and to show him how to be in communion with others. Without her, the man cannot realize the meaning of his existence, which is to exist with and for someone. Without her, he can't fully understand what it means to be a person created in the image and likeness of God for a sincere gift of self. So when you look at the story of creation, Adam was created in the context of things, right? Like the animals and the plants, the sea and the sky. He was given mastery over the created world. Then woman was created. She came into being with Adam there. She was created in the context of relationship right from the very beginning. She never knew anything else other than relationship because Adam was always there. So God has given woman from the beginning the ability to be in relationship. Without woman, the task of a man's life is simply to care for the garden, right? Or to earn a living or to master the created world. But with her, man learns the meaning of life is union and communion through a sincere gift of self. Women can offer to the church and the world something that men can't, something we offer uniquely as women. I think the mistake that is often made is thinking that we are the same as men, and that's what makes us equal. I think a lot of feminists would have us believe that we're the same. But God created us to be equal, but he did create us different. And there's a complementarity between the sexes and the fact that we are different is a good thing. There's a complementarity there. God has showed us an answer to understanding life as union and communion. So our call is to show men how to be in relationship. God has given us the feminine body, which is drastically different from the masculine body. While there are the obvious physiological differences, right? Women have curves, more connectors between the two sides of the brain, and less muscle mass. There's one big way that we're different. We've been created with an empty space within. Women are created to be receptive, to be life givers. A woman's entire being is oriented towards receiving and nurturing new life. Women make a gift of self so that others can receive the gift of self, their very life. So the very way a woman's body is made is for a sincere gift of self through motherhood. St. John Paul, in his apostolic letter, reflected on this feminine gift of self. He said, motherhood implies from the beginning a special openness to the new person. In this openness, the woman discovers herself through a sincere gift of self. So the very way a woman is knit together and created is for the purpose of making a sincere gift through motherhood. Now, what about women who aren't mothers? Are they excluded from the genius of women? No, no way. Right, sister? No way. John Paul talks about another part of a woman's being, that of spiritual motherhood. Spiritual motherhood nurtures the emotional, moral, cultural, and spiritual life of others. And we can express spiritual motherhood in countless ways. It can be as simple as smiling at someone in the lineup at the grocery store, praying with a friend, visiting the sick, making a meal for someone, listening to someone on the phone, you know, giving flowers, gifting someone, or it could be talking to people, writing a book. It could be any number of things. There are many unique and creative ways that we can be spiritual mothers. Charles and I don't have any children, but we've been blessed by God and our godparents to 17 godchildren. And I'm a spiritual mother to them. I have a unique relationship with them that's different than with their moms. I find that also I've been put by the Lord into many relationships with young women whom I'm privileged to mentor and disciple. That's spiritual motherhood too. So these are, you know, some examples of many of the ways we can be called to spiritual motherhood. I think examples abound all around us. We just haven't thought of it this way. John Paul talked about motherhood with some very definitive language. He called this type of living, like living out motherhood, everyday heroism. He said that a significant part of that is the silent but effective and eloquent witness of all those brave mothers who devote themselves to their family without reserve, who suffer in giving birth, and who are ready to make any effort to face any sacrifice to pass on to them the best of themselves. Wasn't he articulate? So beautiful. John Paul emphasized that biological motherhood must be completed by spiritual motherhood. He said, and does not physical motherhood also have to be the spiritual motherhood in order to respond to the whole truth about the human being who's a unity of body and spirit? So he's saying that just giving life to a child is not enough. Women are called to form and direct the emotional, moral, cultural, biological, and psychological life of their children as well. John Paul's description of heroism applies to all women who give of themselves in the church, the workplace, the neighborhood, wherever you find yourself. So all women are called to give birth, many physically, but all are called to give birth spiritually. Women are called to be, right, we're called to be life givers, self-giving, not competitive or gossipers, or we're called to bring life to others. Women are all called to be Christ bearers. Some are called to biological motherhood, but every woman is called to spiritual motherhood. This is an exciting part of the call on women. We can be spiritual mothers anywhere, anywhere we find ourselves, with any group of people. The possibilities really are endless. A spiritual mother can be single, married, widowed. She can have 10 children, no children. And I think many women have already discovered this call on their life, but they just don't realize it. A word of caution about spiritual motherhood: it's not an indiscriminate gift of self, like we're not supposed to be doormats for others, right? As if women have to give and give and give to whoever asks anything of her. A spiritual mother in the healthiest sense helps others grow into wholeness, not dependency, right? We want people to be whole, holy, healthy. And that's what spiritual motherhood does. It calls people into that. So let's just take about 5 minutes here, maybe two or three of you at the tables together. Maybe share with one another one experience of spiritual motherhood, either being a spiritual mother or receiving the love of a spiritual mother. Now, for the guys, can the guys just put up their hands here? Would the guys mind meeting together, maybe over in this corner? It's just so that it just makes it easier. And maybe the guys, you can just share how you've experienced someone loving you as a spiritual mother. Okay? So let's just do that for 5 minutes, okay? Three, two, one. Thank you. Were you a teacher?
Yes. I'm a trainer.
All right. So just want to talk about the third call on women. And this is the call that is uniquely yours specifically. The unique way that God has created you to be and what He's calling you into in your life and what nobody else can do, only you can do. So God's given us, right, a unique personality and unique gifts. Gifts from His Holy Spirit, natural gifts and talents, all of these things combine to make who we are very unique and very special. And we were born, as I said earlier, in this time in history for a reason. There's a reason why we're here. There are people here that God wants us to touch and to move and to bring into the kingdom of God. We are tasked to that. And we need to learn how that uniqueness that we have, how's that going to unfold in our lives? We have to embrace our unique gifts and ask them to serve another's life. So we have to put ourselves at the disposal of the Father. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll give you permission to do whatever you want to do in me. Whatever way you want to use my gifts, I say yes to that. And I think sometimes we're a little bit hesitant because either we're afraid or maybe we want to do something that He's not asking us to do, like we'd like to do something else. But if we work in the gifts that He's given us, we are going to have a profound effect on the people around us. And that's truly self-giving and creative, and it's unique to us, and only you can do it. So we need to say yes to that because God wants to use us. So each of us must look for this calling in our lives. How can we bring our unique self into the world and touch the people around us? How are you uniquely created? What are your personal interests? What are your gifts? What are your natural talents? What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? What are your hopes? Where do you want to be 1 year from now, 5 years from now? How do you want to see your life unfold? The Lord's interested in all of that. And we have to ask God to come and help us see and develop who we are as unique people, apart from the roles that we play, right? Not just as a student or eventually as a teacher or a mother, but who we're called as God to be uniquely. So we want to awaken our unique vocation and explore some of our gifts and our dreams. See what God has in store. And I think this is something that we discover over the course of a whole life. It's a journey. It's a journey that we're on. I think a lot of young women that I talk to, and I talk to many young adult women, they want to have the answer for their unique calling right now. I want to know what I'm supposed to do. I want to know what it's going to look like. I want to know it now. Well, you're not going to know what it is now, so relax. I believe, and I've experienced in my own life, that God begins the journey here in our young adulthood, in our late teens, early 20s, it begins. But it's something that happens over the course of a lifetime. And when we look back, we can see how God has changed, transformed, moved us. But we're not going to know the answers all right in front of us. But He's asking us to just take the next step, the next step. And maybe the next step in the journey is to just look at maybe who we are right now, what some of our unique gifts are. Ask the Lord to show you, you know, what that is. I think we continue to grow and change in the context of our lives. And as we have experiences, that lends itself to our uniqueness and the gift that we're going to be to others. Each of us as a child of God is called to continual transformation of our hearts. We don't arrive at any place here. I love that scripture passage. He who has begun the good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. Well, that implies a journey, right? That implies that we're not going to have it all together here now. It's a life journey. And there's no one correct response for each of us. There's no cookie cutter response. There's a unique correct response for each one. And it's not going to be the same as the person sitting next to you. It's going to be unique for you. We'll continue to discover who he has called us to be as we go along and just keep saying yes to the next thing. Just say yes to the next thing he's asking you to do, and it will open doors that will amaze you. For example, I never imagined that I would be standing up here speaking to a group like this. In fact, when I was in school and did presentations, I would often pass out on the floor. I was so nervous in front of people. And now, I mean, I've had occasion to speak to groups like this and groups up to like 1,000 people. So, and I've never passed out. So praise God. But I think I never imagined that I would be doing this. And I never imagined that I would have ministry to young women. I never imagined that in a million years. In fact, it was not something that I particularly wanted to do. And yet here I find myself, and I love my life. I love my life. So through experience and different opportunities, God brings us to a place where we're challenged and we grow and we find our unique set of gifts. And it doesn't come overnight. I think it requires patience. And so I encourage patience for all of you to just give yourself a break. You don't need to know it all today, but take that next step that's right for you. One great way to discover what your unique gifts are would be to take a spiritual gifts course. They have them online. The Catherine of Siena Institute online is a Catholic spiritual gifts inventory course. It's a great, there might even be spiritual gifts course offered in a parish in the city where you are. It's an amazing way to find out the gifts that God gave you when you were baptized. Amazing. So see it as a journey of discovery. Pope Francis, in The Joy of the Gospel, said, "We should appear as people who wish to share their joy, who point to a horizon of beauty, and who invite others to a delicious banquet." Isn't that awesome? So that really encapsulates, I think, who we're called to be as women, right? Joyful people who look to beauty and invite others to join us. Kind of like a motto, really. We have to be open to the creative side of us to continue to look at ourselves and who we are and see what God created us uniquely to be. What's your mission? What's your mission in life? Pray for a vision for your life. Who do you want to be? One thing Charles and I have done sometimes, we're sitting, just talking about what do you want written on your tombstone? You know, when you die, what do you want people to say about you? What kind of a legacy do you want to leave behind? That's a great way to vision how you're going to live your life, you know? Then we need to set about purposely fulfilling that mission, right? So finding that unique call. I've spoken to quite a number of women's groups about this topic, and I've been amazed and edified to see what many of them have done in response to this challenge. Some have taken up the challenge to explore sort of untapped creative potential, like pottery, painting classes, drama workshops. One even signed up for adult ballet classes, you know, and really was, and what it did is it opened up who she was as a person. She gained confidence and then was able to enter into other ministries that God was calling her to, at the same time finding a creative response to her inner self. Writing, you know, I have a dream to write a book. I'm going to do it one day. I have an idea, but haven't had the time to get at it. But there's no end to the possibilities, right? We have to search our hearts. God wants us to experience his life and fullness of joy as we discover who we are in him and who we are meant to be as we serve and love others. Right? Jesus said, I came to give them life and life in abundance. So I want to leave you with a quote from St. Catherine of Siena. I'm sure some of you heard it before. But be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire. Right? So all we need to do is just take that next step to find out who God's calling us to be, and we will set the world on fire. One thing I would encourage you to do is just reflect on one way maybe that God is asking you to step out and try something new or vision something new or write a bit of a vision statement or maybe there's something you've already been inspired to do and you just haven't had the courage to do it. One way I find that we can really progress in the spiritual life is to share that with somebody so that you can be accountable to doing it, right? If we just keep it to ourselves or write it in our journals and we never get to it, well, you know, it's only kind of between us and the Lord. But if we share it with somebody, that person maybe can encourage us and say, hey, how are you doing on that? Hey, did you sign up for those classes yet? You know, those public speaking classes or whatever it is. So share that with a friend, you know, and so I just encourage you, you know, to do that throughout the day and even today, just nothing like being purposeful, right? Like, let's just step out and get at it. So, I just want to finish with a prayer here, and then I can take some questions after if there are any. So let's just end in prayer, okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, I praise and thank you for these women and these gentlemen here, and I thank you for the unique place that you have for each of them in this world, and I just pray that they will discover their identity in you, Lord God, and that they will know who they are as daughters of the Father, sons of the Heavenly Father. They are each precious to you, Lord God. You've created each and every one uniquely and with a unique vocation that only they can fill, Lord. And so I just ask that you would help them to discover that. Help them to discover their call, their further call as spiritual mothers, where they're bringing you, our Heavenly Father, and Jesus into the world around them. Help them to continue to find their value in you alone, Lord. Let them know how special they are to you. Let them know how you have created them for this time and this space and this time in history. And I pray all of this through Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in this week. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating and review on iTunes. This will help us to reach more people with the good news. Once again, I'm your host, Gerhard, and you're listening to the Missionary Disciple Podcast by Catholic Christian Outreach. Until next time, God bless.